Open your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 11 through 18, which is going to take us to the end of the chapter, but I'll at least spend one more week, and I may bleed into chapter 5 as we deal with the return of Christ, and this is where we meet him in the air. I'm not going to deal with the details of that tonight, but you'll see where we're going. Tonight, the title of the message is How to Live. Remember, last week was a little awkward, maybe. In the greatest sense, it's how to be close but not too close, and how we should operate one with another and be honorable. We ought not to defraud our brother in any matter. Men should act appropriately with the opposite gender, and women likewise, and we must control this flesh. We must discipline our minds, discipline our flesh. It's one of the great ways the devil will absolutely destroy some works of the Lord. And then it goes along and we say we ought not to defraud our brothers in any matter, right? You see that, and because when we despise God's commandments, we despise God. And so these are just simple scriptures. And then what we finished with last week was loving one another, both within our church and outside of our church. And that brings us to verse 11. Let's just start with verse 9, but I'm going to really begin with verse 11 with the message. Verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or them that have passed, them that are dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Simple title of the message tonight is just how we live, how we can get along. Just continues the message from last week. Look at verse 11, and he says, and that you study. So we got to work on this. It's not going to be natural. It's not going to be just of the flesh. We have to study. We have to bring some discipline. We have to bring it into our minds. We have to think on this. He says that you study to be quiet. And so we ought to live quietly. I want to take you over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, just the next book over. I'm going to read a passage for you that may give you greater breadth with these next three points. It appears that this was a particular issue. These next three points that I'm going to bring up with the church at Thessalonica was an issue for them, because when you think of God's word, there's so much that God didn't tell us, right? But what he did tell us was a greater priority than what he didn't tell us. So when he tells it to us and he emphasizes it twice with this particular church, yes, it was for that particular church, but I would suggest it's because it's a common problem for all history that would pass since that time. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. It says, he's speaking to the same church here, for ye yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. To me, this gives a little bit more breadth, gives a little bit more understanding from the perspective. Now let's go back to verses 11 and 12 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's read those again to kind of see if you can understand he's saying something very similar. Look at verse 11. He says, "And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that you may have lack of nothing." It gives us in verse 11 the reason why we ought to do this, but we ought to live quietly. There's a component of the word where it's talking about to be quiet is we ought to live peaceably. And so, again, these all sort of fit in. So I'm going to give you these 3 points so you can just see them right there. It's live quietly, mind your own business, and don't mooch. And so that's 21st century lingo here. And so here's what he says. Live quietly, and he says, do your own business, mind your own business, and work with your own hands. It's, you know, he said in 2 Thessalonians, it's one of the reasons I read it, he that doesn't work shouldn't eat. Now, I want to help you understand this. We are not the executioners of that. Understand this? We are not to be the people that go, hey, you're a lazy bum, I'm not going to help you. You should help people and have mercy. Remember the message this morning, we ought to ooze with mercy. We ought to, you know, but what the Lord's saying is this is for me individually. Remember this. So many times we take the scriptures and think that's what I need to go and tell everybody else. Not that in particular. We need to tell everybody else about Jesus Christ, right? But for us individually, we ought to work with our own hands, but we ought to live quietly. Listen to just a few scriptures. You just listen. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Even this morning in Exodus chapter 14, just listen to this. In the adult Sunday school class. And Moses said unto the people, this is as they see the chariots of Egypt bearing down on them. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Be quiet. Maybe you don't struggle with it as much as I do. But we just need to be quiet sometimes and listen for the Lord. We need to understand this, that why do we want to be unquiet? We all have this desire to be important. And we must fight that. Christ is the important one. And you know what the Bible says when it says we ought to live quietly? We ought to mind our own business. We ought not to be mooches. It's this. Live life according to the scriptures. You don't have to have neon lights. It's okay that nobody knows your name. It's why the Lord says all the time, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Those that you and I have never heard of, I think will have the greatest eternal rewards. If I understand that scripture, the last shall be first and the first shall be last, it's you and I. We don't have to have fame. We don't have to have importance. I want to tell you this. I delight. We talked about this. God blessed this past week in Vacation Bible School. And we didn't have as many kids as we had last year. Unimportant to me. We had a great Friday night, and I think we had more adults. I love more people to minister to more people. I'm telling you, I'm not going to make it about numbers. I'm not. But the Lord blessed. I want to tell you this. I want to be content, and I am in many ways. I need to be more content and more quiet, serve the Lord, love His people, love Christ, love His word, and live for Him, and God will take care of the rest. Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. We don't have to be important. Christ is important. I want us to be satisfied in Christ. The real question is, are we doing His work? Right? If you're doing the work of the Lord, then He is your rest, and you will rest easy. And so He tells these people, He says, they need to study to be quiet. And so God will place people, right? And so It's, you know, like even when I have Jacob, I want to help prepare Jacob for as long as I have him, right? Can I even mention the plans that you've mentioned to me? Or you want me to keep them? You know, I mean, Jacob is seeking the Lord's will, and things can change because we are seeking clarity with the Lord's will. So this isn't pinning him down. But Lord willing, he's thinking he's going to go to Vision Baptist Missions to begin training next fall. So what that tells me is I've got 12 months to infect him as much as I can, and I want to. I want to infect him for good. He's been under my ministry almost all your life, as long as you can remember, and since it was 8, because he doesn't know. But for most of his life, and I want to be purposeful, and I want to help him, and I want to teach him how to lead and how to love and how to have zeal that's with mercy, right? And I want your zeal again. I want your passion again, right? I do. I'm not trying to hold you back with your zeal. I just want to make sure that I remember me, right? I've burned a lot of bridges, right? I would have been great for the military. I'd be like, no one overpassed that again. But that was with people. That's not good, right? And so it took me decades to build some bridges back. And so I want to teach that, and there's a time to be quiet. Are you resting in the Lord? Is Christ your rest? What the Lord says is He says, learn to be quiet and do your own business. Mind your own business. Oh, I already have that. Mind your own business. I already have that up there. Listen to this. We're so close. Turn over to 1 Timothy, just two books over. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And he says, do your own business. You can tell that he's talking about that same thing in 2 Thessalonians, where he talked about some of you have begun to walk disorderly and you're busybodies, right? That's the context of do your own business, mind your own business. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11, just talking about widows. This section is the bad widows. It says, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton or worldly against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they cast off their first faith. And wherewithal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. There's some sadness, I think, in verse 14. Because it's better to have a woman that's just busy with the children, guiding the house, so she has no time to be a busybody. You know what I love is, I do love, and I know this was a challenging week for you guys. You gave up Josiah for 4 days. I don't think you brought him except for Friday, right? And that's not easy. It's not easy because you already are feeling like you're not with him enough. And you know, so you got to figure out that balance. I'm not telling you, but you know what I love? I love that is you're striving. And it's a difficult juggling act, is it not? Difficult juggling act. But it says here, it'd be better that women were just busy versus being tattlers, busybodies, and running from house to house. What it says is, mind your own business. This is important. Men can do the same thing as women, so I just want you to understand this, that we gossip. Why would we talk about anybody? Get a phone call. You should have this on your lips. And why should I know this? What is your purpose in telling me this? Can you help me understand why I need to know this? Pretty soon you'll never get any phone calls. Be nice about it. I'm just being very blunt with how to. But you know this, I want to tell you this, is everyone in this room, you're having struggles. I'm telling you, there are things that I wish, I kind of had this motto when I raised kids. I said, you don't have to tell me everything. You don't. I don't really want to know. Sometimes I feel that way as a pastor, but sometimes people feel the need. And you know what I need to do? God's taught me so much. My first reaction sometimes is like, and then God will tell me, you just didn't do it, you thought about it. Yeah, but isn't that better? And you know what we need to do? We need to love one another. And we're going to blow it. Does anybody else need to know? You know what a destroyed church is if we start... You know, mind your own business. Learn to live quietly. Mind your own business. Don't you have a tiger by the tail taking care of your own family? Don't you have a tiger by the tail taking care of your own self? I do. I knew Ron did. I appreciate the amen there. I mean, anybody else want to amen? No. And so, listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, he says this. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. You're going to get a text sometime. Just leave it alone. Don't respond. Unimportant. You don't need to know. You don't need to tell somebody else. Let it be. You know, the Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. You remember what he finishes with? Those that sow discord among the brethren. Now, I need to leave it up to the Lord, and vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But I will tell you, it is one of the things. And, how do I word this? I don't know how to word it. I'll just drop it. Don't be involved in it. It's one of the few times I will look at people and say, I want you to leave. I never want you to come back. If you want to be a busybody and you want to stir strife and you want to cause discord, never come back to Hope Baptist Church until you repent before the Lord and get it right and are willing to admit you are wrong. That's probably the best way I can put it. The Lord hates it. He hates it. Let's not let it happen here. Let's love the Lord and realize this. Always think about this. I'm telling you, we need to think about this even within our own marriages. Would that be helpful if I said that? Probably not. And so you know what? There's a little old song, you know, what is it? Take a bit of good advice. Shh, say nothing. I can't even remember the song. My wife knows the song right now. She's about ready to stand up and sing it. Anyway, I'll remember the song later. But live quietly. Mind your own business. And then look, he says this. He says in verse 12, he says, work with your own hands. Now in 2 Thessalonians, let me just remind you what it says. It says that for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. We don't have that issue here. I get phone calls, and there's different times I have to make a decision that no more money. We should be generous. We should be over the top. But here's the key. It is work with your own hands, don't be a mooch. Let me just help you with this in ministry. The most dominating people in ministry, and I have that less here than I've ever had in my ministry. Even as a pastor, I have it less. The most dominating people in ministry provide the least in ministry. Does that make sense to you? Do you think that's probably the way it is? The people that do the most are the least of my problems, the least of my issues. And I try to lift you up and pray for you and help you, right? I want to tell you, it's human nature. It's human nature. That, here's the simple. Be a giver, not a taker. Be a giver. And look, we're here. That message isn't for you to say, don't you bother me. No, that's not the message. The principle of God's word is live quietly, live peaceably. The principle of God's word is mind your own business. And work with your own hands. You need to take care of your family and then help others where they can be helped, but don't be the one that's taking all that. Now here's what he says. Here's why. Look verse 12. He says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. People watch you. I mean, it is so clear people are watching you. Every single person in this room, there are people that are watching you. There are people that know what you do on Sundays. There's people that know what you do during the week. There are people that know more than you can imagine about your life. They're watching you. So if you're not living quietly, they know it. If you're sowing discord, If you're a busybody, if you're a gossip, the world knows that. If you're not a person that tells the truth, the world knows that. What a terrible testimony to the world that we can't live quietly, honestly, and that we work hard. You ought to work hard. Your life shouldn't be temporally focused, but you ought to work hard. He says that it's for a testimony to the lost. They are watching. And then I love this. This is God. He said, we'll lack nothing. That's what verse 12 says. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. God will provide. God will supply. You trust Him, just as Jacob said tonight, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It is, do the work of God. It's not glamorous. It's steady. It's faithful. That's all that God's asking for. God's not asking for supermen or superwomen. He's really not. He's just asking for somebody that's faithful. And I'm speaking to the faithful tonight. And so, but it's difficult, isn't it? There's a million things that'll distract us. Happen to be video games for you, young man. One day it'll be something else. I love it when I hear people. I told you, I never used to read the Bible when I was young. I would memorize the sports page, the box scores. I liked numbers when I was young and old. And so I could remember numbers. Not people, but numbers. How useless is that? And so, but I could talk about sports, even sports I didn't like. So what I did was, I got rid of the newspaper. Got rid of it. And so I started getting rid of everything, but it was my heart. I just had to love the Bible. Learn to love it. Ask God to give you a thirst. Ask Him to love it. I do love some of this. Every one of us has probably gotten rid of some social media app. I think that's a good thing. I'm not saying you have to get rid of your social media. I'm not. I think I'd be wrong to preach that. But if you find that you're dominated with it, and that every time that you have a free second that you're on social media, you ought to think about it. What is your love? I won't preach it because that's being a Pharisee. But I want to help you. You and I need to review our lives to say, what am I focused on? The Bible says this, just focus on the simple aspects of Christ, of loving Him, honoring Him, being quiet, serving Him, not being a busybody, not being a sower of discord, and you know what? Be a giver, not a taker. And the world will know that. The world will know that. I mean, it's just simple things, right? I hope there's open doors with some of our neighbors, right? They're okay with us better than they used to be. And, you know, I mean, I take it as, hey, we'd love to help get your mail. You know, hey, there were a couple tracks in here, but we don't do that. But try to reach people for Christ. Now, here's the final thing with 6 points, so don't get too excited. Here's what it says. This is my simple point of just, he says this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, verse 13, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I want to show you 5 things. The next week we're going to get into the details of this glorious moment called the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible. This catching away of the saints. I want to tell you this. I'm very particular. It's not the catching away of the church. It's catching away of the saints. It's all believers. Understand this. We can have another discussion of this. All believers are not part of any invisible church. All believers are part of the family of God. So I want you to know this, though. Every believer will be out of here. Okay? That's good news. And so, but I don't use, it's not the rapture of the church. I know every song you see, you know, that sings about it, talks about that, but I don't think I'll get into that next week, but just give you that. But what it's talking about is, in every chapter, thank you, Brother Lee, and so, Brother Lee, I'm going to highlight, simplistically, what God wanted us to do with understanding His return, and we're going to look at it. 5 thoughts tonight, the motivation regarding being focused on the return of Christ. Look at chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Chapter 1, verse 9 says, speaking of, for they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. One of the things we do when we look for the return of Christ, when we look for his return, is we need to be patient. I want you to understand this. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. There are mockers and scoffers, it talks about in 1 Peter. I'm not bothered by that at all. In fact, I think it's glorious. And I will tell you this. In many ways, I want the Lord to not return for the next 1,000 years. Aren't you glad he didn't come 100 years ago? I wouldn't get to know Christ. I'm thrilled to know Christ, and I want other people to have that joy of knowing our Savior. But his timing will be perfect. We need to have patience and be steady. Patience and be steady. You know, everybody wants to know when. The Lord doesn't want us to know when. He gives us an idea. We'll see some of that in Matthew chapter 24. We'll see some of the signs of his coming. And I mean, I'm telling you, it's accelerating, is it not? We're closer than we've ever been. I'm a genius, you know, so tomorrow we'll be closer than we've ever been. I want you to look at the second thing. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. Paul says this, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Motivation for the return of Christ is fruit. I use you as an example, Bill. If you get the big head, I pop them better than anybody I've ever known. But you encourage me. I want to have your enthusiasm again. I want to be renewed again. You have a sense of urgency. You're healthy, but you know this. You're closer to the grave than you are birth. I don't think you're going to live to your 126. Maybe you will. Happy for you. But you have a sense of urgency. Jesus is coming soon or you're going home soon. I love this. Get with it so that you may have fruit and you may rejoice in that fruit at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to be patient, but I want you to pursue it. I want you just to keep steady as she goes. I want you to live quietly. I want you to live peaceably. I want you not to stir up God's people. You just keep doing what God wants and you will have fruit. You know, I want you to be encouraged with that. You have a sense of urgency that encourages me. You have a sense that we're at the two ends of the spectrum. Bill, you're not that far on the spectrum, but just give me a break. And so we got this young man here. He's excited about the things of the Lord, and I love that. You keep your enthusiasm. It's infectious. You keep your enthusiasm. It's infectious because the Lord is coming again. One day I'm out of here, and you know what? By God's grace, I want to have what Paul says. I want to have glory and joy in those that have believed. There's nothing like it. I mean, is it a thrill? Just, you know, I don't remember what it's like. It's been so long. But Ellie is coming. I'm telling you, she's coming. She's going to be here a week from Friday. A week from Friday. So if you think there's been Ellie illustrations, you ain't seen nothing yet. And so I'm thrilled. What a joy. What a joy. New life. I'll tell you this. You want eternal fruit. And it'll come some from your children. We pray that they'll believe, right? And I want to see you have other fruit as well. That's your joy. That's your rejoicing. I want to show you the third thing. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. The motivation regarding the return of Christ. It says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints." The reason it matters, my behavior matters, I want to be walking with Christ when that trumpet sounds or when he calls me home. You see, I want to live with patience, and I want to view it as just thrilling. I think most Christians kind of sit around. Did I not say holiness? Sorry. Most Christians sit around, and this is what I hear from most Christians. Can't wait till Jesus comes again. I know, even so quickly come Lord Jesus. But I don't think it's with the right spirit. I think most Christians want to sit around and sing kumbaya until Jesus comes back, and then they just look out the window and see what's happening. You know, our attendance would increase if I preached on end times. But I don't think our evangelism would increase if I preached on end times. Maybe it's my preaching. But I always watch people that are interested in end times. And I don't know any of you in this room, so I'm not thinking of any of you. It's okay to be interested in end time prophecy. I'm not. Most of the people that are just passionate about that are useless for the kingdom. We need to be passionate about end times, passionate about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that it motivates us to be patient, to have fruit, and to be holy. I want to be walking with Christ. I want to be doing what's right. I want to be honoring Him. And you know, there's never a perfect day. We never have a perfect day. Sin is missing the mark of perfection. I've never loved the Lord perfectly any one day. Never. But I want to live, I want to love Him better than I ever have on the day He comes back. I want it to be the peak of my unworthiness, whatever you want to call that. I want to be the least unworthy that I've ever been. I'm only worthy because of Christ. Number four, I want you to look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 18, what we just talked. We need to look and live for the return of Christ out of comfort. I thought about this, and I was just thinking about famous people, and my father-in-law came to mind, right? It'll be 19 years, famous in my mind, 19 years this October. But I also thought about past presidents. Nobody thinks of them, right? And so the reality is, only what you do for Christ will last. But be comforted. I'm going to see my father-in-law one day. Some of those babies that have passed away, we'll see them again. I think of Jeff and Diane, right? What the Lord used in one way was the death of a grandchild, as tragic as it can get. It's a her, right? You're going to see her one day. I want you to be comforted with that, because there are probably moments that it's like somebody punched you in the gut still to this day, and it's overwhelming. I want you to remember this the next time you're overwhelmed with grief, because I don't know if you can ever get over it. I want you to remember that Jesus is coming again. And what is her name? Annie. I love it. I love that you know her name. And she was born. She was born out of the womb. You're going to see Annie one day. Isn't that a reason to look forward to the return of Christ? Isn't that a reason to be comforted over the return of Christ? Isn't that a reason to walk holy and to obey Him and be patient? You get to see Annie one day. Be comforted by that, because the grief is overwhelming. Not trying to play on your grief, I'm not. It's about as bad as it gets. But I want you to be comforted in Christ. In Christ, that He's coming again, and you get to see Annie. And the fifth thing I want you to see is chapter 5. Let's just read verses 2 through 4, and then I'm finished. It says, "For yourselves know perfectly," talking to this church at Thessalonica, "that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Whoa! Who's expecting a thief? Nobody. "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." You know this, we should not be shocked. We should be prepared. If Jesus comes back tomorrow, you're like, "Oh, I wish I'd have known." You have enough to know. You should have known. You and I should act with a sense of urgency, with the preparation, with the knowledge. He's coming soon. I didn't think I would have grandkids. I was sure I wouldn't have grandkids. Let me tell you, I'm thrilled I have grandkids, grandchild. I don't have any new information. Unless my phone's ringing. Oh, no, but it's a thrill. Never thought I'd have grandchildren. Some of you are probably in that same situation. You know, then some of you are worrying, I just want to get married. You know, it's good. Ain't all cracked up. It's good. But Jesus is better. Serve Him. Love Him. Enjoy Him. We're going to get into the details. I don't want to make it too, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time going into some of the details of the return of Christ. But I never want to forget why it matters. It matters because we get to be with Him, and let's focus on it. Let's be patient. Let's pursue souls that we might have fruit and the joy and the glory of watching people, seeing people, right? Let's live holy lives. Let's be comforted in the sorrow of our lost, of our loved ones that are saved, that we'll see again. And let's be prepared. Don't act surprised. Jesus is coming again. That trumpet sound just may happen any minute. I will tell you, I do look forward to seeing Jesus, and I want to see Him. But I'll tell you, I want others to know my Savior. Is there anything better in life? There's nothing better in life than seeing people that at one time hated God, And now they love him because they know his son. Let's live because the trumpet could sound at any time. Let's let it comfort us. Let's let it drive us. And let's enjoy the specifics, which we'll get into next week. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we know. We're blessed. The Old Testament saints, they didn't have the inside scoop that Jesus' return was twofold. That the first time he would come as a lamb, the second time